You can't do without him in any way. Let's go to Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 6. I had mentioned last week as we're in the book of Acts, walking through chapter 16, that I was contemplating just continuing on. I decided differently. So I trust that the Lord is in it, and I trust that it'll be a real blessing. We'll hear from the book of Acts, I believe, this afternoon with Pastor Allen, and that was part of my decision-making process as I discovered what he was planning to preach this afternoon as well. Max, this is specifically meant for you this morning, but the reality is it's meant for all of us. I trust that, Max, you will take this to heart. I realize that often in these special occasions, we have a tendency to try to listen, and then it gets lost. So maybe your mom or your dad will take notes for you, or your brother Robert. That's fine. And even Alyssa can take notes. That's fine. And write it down and remember for next time. Of course, we have the joy and privilege of having it online, so please listen again. Not because it's me saying it, but because it's God's Word. The reality is, folks, as we come to Matthew chapter 6, this is in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. In many ways, you could maybe even argue that this section that we're going to read this morning, verses 19 to 24, is the core of that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus here is calling the disciples to be disciples and explaining exactly what it entails. We have this morning taken the time to consider the loyalty that our soldiers have given in the defense of freedom, and we're grateful for it. They are loyal soldiers of America. To a far greater extent, something that's actually of eternal value is the call that God gives to each of those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior to be His disciple. Now, in reality, when I get saved, when someone comes to Jesus Christ, putting their faith, trust in Jesus Christ, they accept Him not simply as Savior, if I can put it in very mundane terms, not simply as their fire escape from hell. If that's all that you think of salvation, I think I could biblically argue that you're not really saved. It's something far deeper and far more significant, though that's clearly a part of it. It was that that motivates many of us to come to understand, wait a second, I need help for eternity. Grateful for it. But the moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I accept Him as Jesus Christ, my Lord. You see, it's a radical whole change. He now rules and reigns in my heart and life. I become, as this passage would talk about, citizens of His kingdom. His kingdom is not completed yet, but it has already begun. He's King. He's sitting on the right hand of God as we speak, mediating for us. That wonderful fulfillment of all of that kingdom age will yet to come. But as a citizen of His kingdom today, I need to submit. I need to obey. I need to be faithful in following. There are times, and you know, folks, I unashamedly, and I trust that the vast majority of you as well, are unashamedly Baptist in our positions and beliefs. Why? Because we follow Scripture. Are there others that would claim the title of Bible followers? There are. But there are often very flawed in some or many of their doctrines. From a very practical standpoint, one of the reasons that I'm a Baptist is not simply because the Word of God drives me there. And it does. If you know, Dr. Cederholm, I've told you this before, used to give the illustration. Someone came up to him or came up to a Baptist preacher and said, "If you weren't a Baptist, what would you be?" And the preacher said, "I'd be ashamed." All right. And I connect with that. That's really who I am at my core. But a part of the reason I'm a Baptist as well is I began to study and understand Christian history. It is my Baptist forefathers who willingly, unreservedly, were willing to shed their blood for the name of Jesus Christ. Our history, unlike any other religion's history, is replete with martyrs. Now, there were numerous martyrs from different other followings and so forth. I understand that. But ours is really, as one Baptist historian says, is a trail of blood. Until we come to this point in the United States of America in the late 1700s into the 1800s, Our Baptist forefathers often died. It wasn't an irregular thing. They were often dying and often being persecuted for just loving God's word and trying to live it out in their life. You read their defenses before the judges or juries that sometimes were a joke, really. You read their defenses before the Catholic Church. And our forefathers, time and time and time again, simply say, I just want to obey God's word. Their defense comes right from the scriptures. They don't argue any other line of logical thinking. They argue the scriptures. They are loyal citizens of Jesus Christ. Max, today I want you to be challenged to follow Christ wholeheartedly, completely, all of us. To live it out faithfully, fervently in your life, not half-heartedly. And so how does that get accomplished in our life? Well, let's begin verse 19, chapter 6 of Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I read that verse again? Folks, this is who we are. This is where we belong. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This could be said of anyone in their life. Verse 22. He further illustrates another principle. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, or can I put it this way, single-minded, he's moving way beyond just physical sight here. He's talking about what's going on in the heart and what we view. If thine eye be single-minded, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the opposite of single, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light which that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know better, and you still follow darkness. Verse 24 is the third point, essentially, that he's making, all wrapped around my loyalty. No man, verse 24, can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot. It is impossible to serve God and mammon. Max and all of us today, three questions to typically ask ourselves. I would encourage you to maybe do this on a weekly, at no more than a monthly, or no less than a monthly basis. Three questions to ask our minds, hearts and minds today. Number one, is God my treasure? Verses 19 to 21. Is God my treasure? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and corrode, destroy, bring to ruin and naught, where thieves break through and steal. Folks, my treasure should not be on this earth. Your treasure, Max, your treasure should not be here. I've told you often, and this is only a simple illustration, plug in what is lustful in your heart. I love old cars. There was yesterday, I was going to Walmart. I had to run to Walmart for something for my wife. Did I do it twice? No, I only did it once yesterday. That's good. Anyways, okay. So just helping her out. She's in the home, so I can run real fast, go do it. There's this guy walking out, and all of a sudden I heard the lady, and I hadn't been paying attention. My mind was on other things. This lady walks out and says, oh, is that yours? What year is that? And when she says, what year is that? My ears go, bing. What is she talking about? What did I miss? I didn't think I said, and I turn around. It's a 1948. Motorcycle. Well, that's halfway there. It's got two wheels, not four. But anyways, okay. I still is like, oh, I got it. I love old cars. They're cool to me. And they got get up and go and all those things. But that should never be my treasure. It's going to rust and corrupt. I'd have to always try to keep the paint job looking nice. You take it out and get a little speck of dust on it, what would I do? I'd spend hours and hours wasted on a piece of metal. And then someone could break into the parsonage, which is not too hard, and take it away, and it'd be gone. But what do I have for all of that time and effort and money spent? Nothing. Nothing. The Lord encouraged my heart this week. I have been paying attention to what's going on in the music in our church, counting my numbers of instruments that are up in the orchestra, and I realized we can have a brass quintet here. We just need a tuba. Well, do you know how much tubas cost? You think my daughter's oboe is expensive. All right, they make brass things that are very, very, very expensive. So I began praying, Lord, I can play tuba. Would you provide so that we can find a good tuba at a good price so that I can start tooting the tuba around here to help worship you? And I asked my wife, I even asked Dad, what do you think? Should I spend some of my hard-earned money, I guess if you want to put it that way, on a tuba? And the Lord in my devotional time just reminded me what I spend on this life for life and ministry, for ministry, is not wasted. What an encouragement. Max, you may leave this life and barely have enough to retire on. But this world is not where it belongs. Treasure God. And so, verse 20 says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Moth and rust can't touch it there. Thieves don't break through there and steal there. People are actually honest in heaven. How do you like that? But then he gives us this challenging point in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We often think of it in the opposite terms. What I love, heart, that's what I'll invest in. Jesus turns that thought totally on its head because it's the right way to view it. The reality is we can analyze and view each other's life and especially our own heart by what we invest in. You can scream at the top of your lungs, I love God and follow Him, but if your life is not invested in God and His things, you're lying. That's not where your heart's at. I find for the godly Christian, it's not hard to come to church, to serve the Lord, to give of the tithe. Why? Because that's what I treasure. Now do we do it fully? No, we've got this old flesh that corrupts our thinking. I understand all that. But at the pureness of my heart before God, and for any believer, I love to serve the Lord. I love to give time there. And many of you testify that to your life. I see it, at least a little bit, as you allow me to look into your life and heart. Max, treasure God, and let it be demonstrated in your life by what you do, where you go, how you spend your time, what you look like, who you're with. It needs to demonstrate that God is your treasure. So question number one, is God my treasure? Believer, ask yourself that and be honest with your answer before the Lord. Secondly, is God my vision? That's verse 22 and 23. Is God my vision? You see, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The eye is the gate through which I see my way. It's the instrument really of guidance. Our heart breaks for those whose eyes are blinded. Oh, they learn to get along some. But they often need someone to guide them. Thus they have a guide dog at times, or a stick to mark their way. My first father-in-law, he has been dealing with macular degeneration for numerous years, trying to sway it off, and it's finally really catching up to him. So even driving is almost impossible at this point. They used to like to go walking. He doesn't want to walk anymore because he can't see well enough to know if there's a crack in the sidewalk. They go to the mall now where everything's smooth, so he doesn't trip and fall. You see, God has called us to keep our focus, our single-mindedness, on Him and Him alone. Only God and His Word can help us see life right. We live in a culture and time that screams at us to turn away from the Word of God. Max, you're 18, and many would like to call you a man. You can make your own decisions, think your own thoughts. I would warn you against those very things. You may become as old as Claire Dietz, and you will still need the guidance of the Word of God. Focus on what God has given you. If you think you are walking in Christ's light, but you are not single-minded in your focus on Him, your treasure, your light, as verse 23 makes it very clear, is a great quantity of darkness. You are living a deceived life. If we have any other standard but the Word of God by which we judge life, we're being deceived. Can I tell you that again? I don't want you to miss that. If you have any other standard by which you judge life, you are being deceived. We must regularly, faithfully take our life up to the light of God's Word and see if I'm within its parameters, if it's focused on Jesus Christ. That wonderful hymn, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Naught else but all to Thee, You're my treasure." Let us make sure that God is my vision, it's my focus, my attention. Don't let the pleasures of this life, don't let the demands of a job, don't let your hobbies and joys that you just like in this world become your focus. They will quickly turn your life to darkness. And the picture that God and Christ here paints is a major contrast. There's no gray here. It's either you're following God or you're in darkness. It's not like, I'm okay. I know there's some things I can do in my life. No, you're not okay. A part of the problem of carnal Christianity is that they think they're okay. And they believe a lie. As a disciple of Christ, I must be all in. No holes barred. Nothing held back. Either God is God of all of my life or He's not God. And I realize that as we walk with the Lord, God continues to open up our hearts and minds to areas in our own life that we must yield to Him, that we must take our hands off and let Him hold it. Max, do that in your life. Let Him grow you. Let Him make you single-minded focused. I read stories, I've not ever been there. A soldier in the midst of the battle, often if he survives, it's because he's become totally focused on the work that he has to do. We call them heroes who are willing to risk their life to step out in the line of fire to save and so forth. And you ask them later, and they will often say, I was just doing my job. And we think that that's such a quaint little phrase, but that's actually what they're expressing, is this exact same idea that Christ is trying to express. I was focused. My man was out there and he needed help. I'm going to go help him. I don't care what comes. Max, there will be all kinds of things in your life that will draw your attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a laser, keep your focus only on God. Let Him be your vision. And that's lived out by you living out the Word in your life each day. Third question. Number one, is God my treasure? What's worth it to me? Number two, is God my vision? Where am I going? What's my focus? Number three, verse 24, is God my master? No man can serve two masters. I don't think there's a single one of us that would say, of course not. That's impossible. By the very nature of the word master, you can only have one. And yet, too often in life, Christians in particular strive to have more than one master. There, if you watch and observe their life, you can say there's a, and we call those other masters by God's word, idols. Things that are taking God's place. People, circumstances, whatever it is that's taking God's place in that believer's life. And he's trying to do the impossible, to have more than one master. How foolhardy are we? No man can serve two masters. It's impossible. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. That's the nature of it. We have been created to follow someone, not someone's and some things. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 11:3, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." Now notice this, "and the head of Christ is God." God in his actual creation order has put structure in. It's the very nature of God's order to have what we call headship. Max, your loyalty cannot be divided. Attempts at divided loyalty betray not partial commitment to discipleship, but deep-seated commitment to idolatry. I thought that was a pretty good quote by a good commentator. I am commanded by God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, a commandment that really stands for us yet today. It's an Old Testament command. All of our New Testament is built off of this very theme, and Christ, in fact, in this very Sermon on the Mount, even refers back to it. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." In Matthew 22, he says it this way, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great command." Max, it means that you can't just love God today while you're here with God's people. It means that tomorrow morning when you head off to Farm and Fleet, or tomorrow afternoon, or maybe this afternoon when you're at your house, you can only have one master. It's God. And you must follow Him. When you got saved, you said, "God, you're my master." Now, follow Him. You see, at the end of the verse, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is any riches in which we place our confidence. Really, Christ is coming all the way back to verse 19, to the word treasure. It's not the same word, but it's a similar word. You cannot serve God and any other treasure. Only God can be your treasure, what you hold most valuable in life. Let your love for God taint everything in your life. So if it means I get an extra paycheck from work because I work overtime, but that means I'm going to skip the time with God's people and worship of God, your love for God should taint that decision. If it means that a person comes into my life who I like, but they drive me away from God, not towards God, that should taint my decision, my love for God. That person should not be a close friend. If it means that I gladly and joyfully give my tithe and offerings to God's work, instead of getting that little nicer car that really had the gizmos on it that I wanted, then that love for God taints my decision. It means that in time, I will take time to tell others about Jesus Christ, doing it on purpose. It means I'll take time to obey my parents and do things that even I don't like to do, but they've asked me to do. By the way, they're still your parents after today, so you still have to obey them. There's no graduation clause in the Bible, okay? It means that I love God's people and God's house, so I give my time and sacrifice there, like many of your fellow members do regularly here. It means that my first thought in the morning is about my God. Not about any other love in my life. It means that the last thought of my day is about my God. It means that as I walk through the day, I'm in communion with Him, wanting to always do what pleases Him. How I live and where I go, what I think, what I'm listening to. My loyalty is to Him and to Him alone. Max, I encourage you today, take the time every once in a while and ask yourself, is God really my treasure? Does my life demonstrate it? For where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. Is God my vision? Or are the things of this life distracting me from following Him in His Word? Would others see in my life that God is my only master? Or would they notice that there's idols in my heart? Be willing to ask yourself those questions. Believer, can I ask you to do the same? At the end of my first ministry in Pennsylvania, I went through some really deep waters spiritually. One of the paths through which the Lord took me and through the help of my family was coming to realize that I had several, but one in particular, idols in my heart. That in fact, I was not worried about what God wanted, but about what this person wanted. It ripped my heart apart, believer, when I finally understood what I was doing. Oh, I had tried, and I was, I think, rightly, honestly trying, but I knew as I looked back that I was pushing aside the conviction of God in my heart over this idol. God turned my life and unfortunately my family's life upside down because of my sin. And yet in His mercy and grace to me, God allowed His work in my life to hopefully change me. That moment still is very fresh in my mind at times. That moment when God's conviction and my repentance was real in my heart. The bitter weeping, the sense, like Peter, that I denied my Savior. And I'm grateful for those moments. It was hard then. It's not something I'd ever want to go through again. And by God's grace, I'll stay loyal to God. I'll never have another idol in my heart. Though that's not something that's easy to overcome. You have to do every day. You have to ask yourself, is there an idol? Many things can become idols. But my loyalty needs to be only on Jesus Christ. My wonderful treasure. My good God. My vision. Max, if you let God be the treasure of your heart and the vision of your sight, the master of your life, you'll never have regrets. Never. God's Word promises. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, You've called for total, unreserved commitment to You. It means giving up of all of my thoughts and all of my ways, yielding everything I am to You. Father, help us each, not just Max today, but including him, help us each to keep our treasure in Jesus Christ, in God alone. To keep our vision in God's Word alone. To keep our submission in Jesus Christ alone, our Master. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. Believer, as you look at your heart before God, not before me, could you honestly say before God that you treasure Him, that He is your only and true treasure, that He truly is the vision of your heart, the passion of your life, that He truly is your master? Maybe today there's some area in your life where you realize, just as we've heard the Word of God today, that there's an area that you want to be the master of. There's other treasures in your life. Your vision is distracted from God. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray with me today? I want God to be only, the only treasure of my life, the only master of my heart, the only vision of my eyes. Can I pray for you right now as a believer? You'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Anyone quiet, sit the hand there. Yes, amen. Amen, yes, amen. Anyone else? Yes, amen. Spend some time with the Lord today. I'd encourage you maybe in a moment, if you want to come here and kneel at the front steps, that would be good. That would be a good start. Maybe it'd be a point at which you would have a remembrance of, Lord, that was the day that you really pricked my heart about this, and I don't want to ever not forsake you again. I don't want to ever forsake you again. So maybe come. But let me encourage you as well, tonight, tomorrow, Max, make it a pattern of your heart and life to be in the Word of God daily, in prayer. And a part of that is treasuring God, letting Him be your focus. Are you here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior? We talked about it at the beginning of the message. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? Or are you trying to do this life on your own? God has promised in His Word that as humans do life on their own, guess what happens? Ruin, death. Your only redemption, your only hope is Jesus Christ. That's all. No one else, nothing else. Are you here today without Jesus? Trust Him and bring life, joy, peace to your soul. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to get that settled today. Could I pray for you right now? Just quietly slip your hand in the air and say, Pastor, that's my need today. Anyone at all? I need Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Anyone at all? Lord, thank You for Your Word. May it do its good work in our heart. May we be people that treasure You, that have You as our vision, that have You as our Master. May that reality be true in all of our life. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to Thyself. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If you need to come and spend some time with the Lord, asking for His help and assistance and letting Him be the treasure of your heart, well then, why don't you come? If you need someone to pray with, maybe you want some encouragement or help, or just asking for someone else to help you, come, catch my hand. We'll get a counselor. We'd be delighted to help you with that. If you're here today without Christ, oh, please come. We'd be delighted to show you the wonderful joys of eternal life through Jesus Christ and His work on the cross for you. So as our pianist quietly plays, we hum along. As God's working in your heart, you come.